Amen, amen, amen. Choose truth. Choose truth. Always choose truth. Even if we don't understand it all, choose truth. I've been reading in Revelation, and I noticed that it talked about 42 weeks. And I started counting weeks from November of 2020 until April. It's 42 weeks. 42 weeks. And I thought, May going to be a good time, you know? I mean, I know that that's talking about end times, but it says for 42 weeks, wicked will be allowed to reign. And we've been witnessing wicked reigning. The Bible talks about when the wicked reign, you know, things fall apart. And we've been witnessing that. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I like it less than green eggs and ham. And I don't know, just when I was reading it, I just thought, my, we have watched it, and we have watched when wicked reigns, we've watched how it just steps down and down and down and down and down. Deeper and deeper. And the enemy tries to do that, or he does do that, because he thinks that he can win. That maybe he can just take it so low, we'll give up. Uh-uh, we won't give up. Amen? We will not give up. I won't give up. I won't give in. I'll just start to praise the Lord again. Amen? If we can't think of what else to do, praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make his deeds known among the people. Psalm 92 says it's good to give thanks to the Lord. Think about his love in the morning and his faithfulness at night. If you keep reading in Psalm 92, it'll end up saying that even in old age, they will still produce fruit. Right? They will remain vital and green. That's the truth. Don't you feel vital? Green might bend, but you won't break. You know? They will declare that the Lord is just, he is my rock, and there is no evil in him. There's no evil in God. He's just. He's loving. He's perfect. Truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. Since that's the truth, then we shouldn't consider anything else, right? But the truth. When it talks about, in the Old Testament, when it talks about Saul and his sons dying, it said he didn't listen to God, so God killed him. Maybe so. No. But God is compassionate. This week, Morris had a bunny in his mouth. I don't like it when Morris has a bunny in his mouth. And so I took the bunny from Morris's mouth. And the bunny was still alive. And we wanted that bunny to live. We tried everything that we could. And the night before the bunny died, it was eating like crazy out of a little eyedropper for Vicky. Man, we thought we were over the hump. But the bunny died happy, I guess. And in the morning, I didn't check the bunny right away. I went to my chair, and the cat appeared, and the cat was on my lap. And I was petting the cat, praying about the bunny. You'd think I'd have bigger things to pray about, right? But, you know. And God just said, I love your compassion. And I'm sitting there, I'm loving the killer, and I'm loving the bunny. I had compassion for the killer and compassion for the bunny. God, some truths you just got to believe them. You just got to believe them. Because I know that the truth that God has compassion for the victim and for the murderer. Those are things that you don't exactly go to comfort the family of a victim with, you know. But you know, God has compassion for that murderer. No, keep that to yourself, but it's true. We know it's true. Jesus had compassion for his murderers. And for the thief on the cross. Jesus has compassion. I don't guess that it says we got to like them. But at the same time, I spend time in jail with people, and God has compassion for them. And unlike the case with my cat and the bunny, I knew the killer. And I comforted myself with the fact that the bunny died a lot nicer than other bunnies have died. It's easier to have compassion if you didn't hear the being squealing as it was torn apart, you know. But it's a perfect picture of God. I don't have to understand all the things about God. I just need to understand God. I just need to always choose the truth, because the truth's better than the lie. You know? Jesus said to Thomas, don't be faithless anymore. Believe. We all run into little blocks of faithless, you know? We do. We run into things that are chewy and we don't really want to chew. We want to just ignore it, but if we just ignore it, we'll never get what God has for us. If we find ourselves at a faithless spot, it's a good time to be built up in faith at that spot. To actually attack those spots with faith. To not harbor bitterness. Don't hang on to unbelief. Don't hang on to hatred. Don't hang on to anything like that. Just smack it. Smack it down. Smack it down. It's not always simple, but it's always beneficial. It's beneficial. To stop being faithless. You can have all kinds of faith. You can have big faith, and then you run into a spot where you're faithless. Well, it doesn't average. You know, you don't average it out. Today, don't harden your heart. Today, if the Spirit of God speaks to you about a place that you need to acknowledge it, I might be faithless there. Man, now you got a springboard to take off with it. Now you're like Rocky. Knocked down, barely can get up, and something happens. And all of a sudden, da 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 da, he wins. My wife would say that's because it's in the script, Roger. You know, I wish they wouldn't do that, Roger. It's in the script. So it works handily. When she says something like that, I say, honey, I know. You tell me all the time. It's in the script. It's in the script. You know? Well, your victory is in the script. Your victory is in the script. One word from God can change your life. One word of faith applied to a faithless spot, and the faithless spot is healed. It is. We don't wave it over it, we apply it. We apply it. This is the truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. In John 15, John ends 15 by saying, I will send you the advocate, the Spirit of truth, and he will come to you from the Father, and he will testify about me. And you also must testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. Guys, you've seen it all. Don't forget. Testify about it. Everybody has a testimony. We all have a testimony. If we know God, we have a testimony. We have something that the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. I told this to the guys in the jail, you know, I said, look, you've got a testimony. You've sat here and you have felt the presence of God. So you know God is real. He's alive. You've got a testimony. You can be so bold as to say, I felt God. One of my guys had asked me to pray for somebody. He's out right now. Asked me to pray for somebody in his family and pray that he would get an opportunity to talk to him. And this person that he wanted to talk to, the guy said, well, he shouldn't be talking to anybody. He was just in trouble. Tell that to Saul, who became Paul. Something about 3 days talking to Jesus changed everything. 3 days talking to Jesus and everything that he knew before was no more. He's the one we've been looking for, you know? But you see, that's the natural thinking of things. Well, you've been in trouble. You haven't lived a perfect life. I saw you yesterday. I heard you. Does that change God? No. Be built up in our most holy faith. We have a testimony. We've got something to say. We have an answer. Jesus. If nothing else, we have Jesus. Jesus to the mountains. I'm going to learn that song. Jesus, I'm going to say Jesus. That's all we have to have. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The name of Jesus. Pray the name of Jesus over the evil. Pray the name of Jesus over the sick. Pray the name of Jesus over the stubborn. Pray the name of Jesus over that one that curses you and mocks you. Pray the name of Jesus. When we don't know what to pray, we've got Jesus. Because he said in verse 1 of chapter 16, he said, okay, now look. I have told you these things so you won't abandon your faith. Sometimes people abandon their faith. Doesn't mean they curse God and die. It means they abandon their faith. They've experienced God's faithfulness, God's goodness, God's love, God's kindness, God's everything, and something happens. And that's the last straw. What about that stack of the goodness of God? How can we just discard that? Jesus said, I've told you these things so you won't abandon your faith. Abandon the lies. Abandon those things that exalt themselves against them. Abandon those things. Just let them go. Cut bait and run. Let those things go. I don't care if it's a favorite lure. Cut the string. Easy for me to say. I don't really have a favorite lure. Obviously, people might hear that and say, well, he obviously doesn't know anything about fishing. Well, I don't. I just don't. You know? When I was a kid, I had fun in the Black Hills, fishing in the creeks. Could not understand why those trout would swim up to it and swim away, and swim up to it and swim away. It's frustrating. And sometimes a walk with the Lord can be frustrating if we don't hold on to the truth. If we let little things slip in. You know? Let just little things start working their way in. Sometimes you can let little things work their way in. As you tell somebody, agree with them about something that just ain't true. And it makes sense to say, I understand. I'm not going to understand abandoning faith. I'm not going to agree with it. I'm going to find a way to work around. I'm going to just shut up. But I'm not going to agree because it seems like it would be reasonable if you're really compassionate and really full of Jesus. It would seem like it would be reasonable to say, yeah, I know what you mean. I don't know what you mean. I don't know. I take that back. I don't know what you mean. I've been there, but I don't want to go there anymore, so I'm not going to let that little thing in. Jesus said to Thomas, put your fingers in my side. Look at my hands. Oh, now I believe. Oh, Jesus didn't say, wow, way to go, that's really great. He said, don't be faithless anymore. How harsh is that? The guy was doing his best and he called him faithless. Wasn't going to help him to say, oh boy, Thomas, you're really moving up. You know? Let this be the end of your faithlessness. Boy, oh boy, that's a victory dance time, isn't it? When we come to the end of our faithlessness. When we come to the end of any wavering whatsoever. When we come to, that'll be when we get to heaven. But we can fight the good fight. We can. You know? Paul said, look, when you have done everything to stand, I mean everything, you ought to get like an attaboy and a small trophy. I've done everything to stand. And Paul says, just keep standing. Put on that armor of God. Jesus said, I will send the Comforter. He will lead you into all truth. Slip on that armor of God. Your loins girt, whatever girt is, cinched up in the truth. Breastplate of righteousness. Put on that robe of righteousness. Choose the truth. Choose the truth about you. Choose the truth about the things you see. What does Jesus say about you? What does Jesus say about me? He tells us to build one another up. He tells us to encourage one another. He tells us to walk in love. He tells us you can do this. You can do this. But see, we have spots. We have spots of abandonment and spots of faithlessness. We've got little spots that just bug us. And we can do real good and then something just bugs us. Every time I think about that, I just want to say, Jesus. I just want to say, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. You know, not the other kind of Jesus. He's perfect. He's precious. I was telling him this the other day. I said, Lord, chapels were just so good because you were present. You know? It was so good. I said, you're perfect, you're present, you're precious, and you're popular. He isn't popular everywhere. But he's popular at Hughes County Jail. He is. He's popular. They come for his presence. You know? They don't come for me. They come because Jesus is there. They come in expecting Jesus. They come in just taking in the truth. Are they walking in the truth? They'll get there. I believe it. I believe it because he's faithful when we experience him. And so I say to them, you've got a testimony. Your life has changed more than you realize. It's. I'm telling you, you know, it's changed more than you realize. And I want you to pay attention to what he's doing. That's what we all need, to pay attention to what he's doing. Not get distracted by what everybody else is doing. Even if things don't do an absolute flip in May, I'm not going to get off of my faith. And if they do an absolute flip, I'm not going to write a book about how I figured it out, because I'm sure lots of other people are thinking the same thing. But I'm going to tell you, I want to tell you this honestly, I've never counted weeks before. Counting my fingers. Counting to make sure that I was counting. Counting. What was I doing? Reading Revelation and counting. Are you crazy? I always just read through Revelation. But he said a season of 42 weeks, wickedness will be. I think 42 weeks is plenty of time, any time, for wickedness to get to reign. And again, understand that Revelation, I happen to think that all of the Bible is present and future to be interpreted. You know, God can do whatever he wants to, but it excited me. It excites me to think about God. I still do. I don't have a clear revelation of revelations. And I mentioned that, and God said, nobody does but me. He's the only one that knows. Doesn't hurt us to figure, but it's going to come out the way that he says. Evil reigned in my life way more than 42 weeks. But the righteousness of God is forever. It's forever. And if we know the truth will make us free. If we abide in him and his word abides in us, then the truth will make us free. So that's why we choose the truth. And if we choose the truth, we choose life. Because he's the truth and he's the life. And if we choose truth, we'll know the way, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. And every word of God is true. And so, it doesn't say anything. It says to get understanding, but he says to leave the truth. And we do that, don't we do that? If you've been on an airplane, you believe the guy flying it knows how to fly, and you know, believe that the plane will go up, and you believe the plane will come down. You don't have any idea how it works. Well, you might, if you studied it enough. I have to tell you that those great big planes, I can't get lift to work. It's just too much to lift. I'm glad that it does, but I mean, it's like if I went to try to pick up a 500-pound rock now, I ain't going to get it done. We were watching a show the other day, and they had 55-gallon barrels of stuff, and they were trying to manhandle it. I told Vicki, I said, I used to pick those up and stand them up, drop them down, roll them around. By faith, I can still pick up my Goldwing. But I don't want to drop it to find out. I don't want to practice. Throw it down, pick it up. And I don't want to abandon my faith. And I don't want to doubt truth. So we choose truth. We choose Jesus. He is the truth. And so no matter what we see, he's the solution. Jesus, I know you're the solution. And since you're the solution, I don't need to look at the problem. I can just look to you. I'll fix what I can fix, but I'm going to fix it the way you want it fixed, not the way I want it fixed. Because if he's beside me, it's fixed. It really is. When he comes alongside, it's fixed. It may take time for it to come together, but it's fixed. You know, it's like sometimes you're going to fix something. You got it in your mind to fix it. Vicki has a mop bucket. And I looked at it, I said, I think I can fix it. It went to the garage and stayed in the garage. And I grabbed it. I started thinking, I'm not so positive that I can fix that. But I thought, I'll try fixing that. And I got some wire. I went and got a coat hanger. hooked it on it and got it hooked, and it works. And I told Vicki, but be gentle with it. Because I have a plan B. It's a new one. But in the meantime, every time that we use it gently, every time that it works, it works. God's word works all the time. It always does. And so we choose truth. And we understand that, yep, he told us all of this so we wouldn't abandon our faith. And he told us all of this so that we wouldn't be faithless. And he told us all of this so that we can realize, you know, it's possible to abandon and it's possible to be faithless. I'm going to keep my eyes out. I'm going to watch for those things. See, I'm going to recognize, whoa, wait a minute. I never thought I was being faithless, but maybe so. And I certainly have no desire to abandon it, but here's the thing. When it comes to our relationship with God, there isn't such a thing as just maintaining. Because maintaining is gradually abandoning. Pressing toward the prize keeps us ahead of abandonment. Keeps us ahead of faithlessness. As near as I can tell from all the accounts I've read, Thomas never actually stuck his fingers in Jesus' side. He just said, whoa. Whoa. I pray that you'll have many whoa moments. Joyous times of the presence of God. Joyous building up moments of, oh yeah, yeah. And when you do, enjoy them. Enjoy them. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make his deeds known among the people. And glory in his holy name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you more. That there is more and more and more. You are our victory. You are, Lord. Truly, Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. Say it with me. And nothing I desire compares to you. No, Lord, nothing I desire compares to you. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.